If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 4, and there are 16 verses that I shall read. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's bow and pray together. Father, my prayer is that through the reading of your word and the proclamation of that word, you will be exalted and lifted up high, and that we will learn more about your plan and purpose for our lives so that we might walk worthy of the calling by which we have been called. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but in recent years, it just seems to me that there has been an explosion of advertisement and encouragement to do a better job concerning our physical well-being. The sermon video illustrated that by someone who was running, a discipline that is difficult to learn and hard to maintain. The physical body, proper diet, exercise, putting all the right things in, keeping all the wrong things out. The emphasis on that today is greater than it ever has been before. And that's not a bad thing. We're told in God's word that our body is the temple of the living God and that we ought to do all we can do to discipline the flesh so that we honor the Lord. And yet, I just seem to wonder, if we paid as much attention, if we were as disciplined, if we tried as hard to encourage and equip the inner person, the inner man, and grow inwardly like we try to grow outwardly, what the outcome of that might be. You don't really see many advertisements on prayer discipline. Not many are calling for us to read with consistency the Word of God and hide it in our heart. We're not talking about the weight of sin and how we ought to get rid of it so we can run the race with patience and do the things that God has called us to do. Emphasis is on a proper diet, and yet we are to feed on the Word of God. Emphasis is on exercise, and yet we ought to exercise the truth, speaking the truth in love. Emphasis is upon physical discipline, and yet, as Mike mentioned, the inner man grows stronger, but the outer man grows weaker every day. The best I can do for this physical body is temporary. James says life is just a season. It's brief. It lasts for just a little while. It's a vapor. It's here. And then it's gone like grass that withers in the noonday sun. The best I can do, the very best I can do, is to live 70 or 80 or 90 years. But there is an eternity, and there is an inner man who will live on forever and forever and forever. And I wonder what plan we would follow, what course of action we might take, what we could begin to do even this morning to enhance our emotional being so that we might be balanced, to work on our moral being so that we might be pure, to surrender our spiritual being so that we might be Christ-like. I wonder if we've really recognized the fact that the outward man is dying and the inward man is the one where we ought to place the most emphasis, the most of the time, so that we could grow in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. The 16 verses that I have read from the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians began in verse 1 by emphasizing walking worthy of our calling. In order to understand the fourth chapter and those 16 verses, we really need to grasp the content of the entire book of Ephesians. The first three chapters have to do with doctrine. It's all about what God says concerning Himself and what He has done for us. The last three chapters of the book of Ephesians is all about Christian devotion. It's based on what God has done for us. What now shall we do for Him? So you have doctrine and duty or devotion. If we properly understand who God is and what God has done for us in these first three chapters, then he contends we will walk worthy of the calling that he has placed upon our lives, knowing what the last three chapters are all about. So in chapters 1, 2, and 3, when you study the book of Ephesians, you will discover some of these things. You have been chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundations of the world. God has set his seal and his stamp upon you and called you unto himself. To the question, how did you find the Lord? One ought to reply theologically, I didn't have to find him. He wasn't the one who was lost. I'm the one who was lost. He found me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. And on the heels of being chosen in Christ Jesus, Paul tells us that we have been predestined to the adoption of children. What that means is that sinners have met the Savior and have become sons, and that sons have become saints. It means that the process of redemption has taken place in my life and in your life. He's found me. He who chose me has found me and made me a child of the living God. I'm told that he loves me. I'm told that I have been made accepted in the beloved. I'm told that God has included even me. I am told in that first chapter that I am secure, sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that that which was in me cannot escape from me because I'm bound up with the Holy Spirit who keeps me right and righteous before Almighty God. I'm told that the mystery of the Godhead is being explained to me as I understand that Christ in me is the hope of glory. I've been told that I have been grafted in, that I am made alive, that the mystery shown to me of His everlasting love and grace is He looks after me, that He cares for me, that He is tender and compassionate toward me. I am told that I am strengthened with power by His presence and His might in my life. And the third chapter concludes by telling me that whatever I would ask or think, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond, more than anything my mind can think of and conceive or my heart can imagine. That's who He is in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then chapter 4 begins by saying, do you want to be a better you? Do you want to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Do you want to be strengthened with might in the inner person? Then I urge you, therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, walk worthy of the call that has come to you from the gospel. So let's quickly look at that. The first thing that he tells us in this is that it is a personal challenge, a challenge that is personal. I urge you, he said. Now, sometimes the word you is used in the plural, and sometimes the word you is used in the singular. For instance, when Jesus says to Simon Peter, the devil wants you, he's talking about just Simon. But he says the reason the devil wants you is so that he can have you, and he's making reference to all of the disciples. Well, in this particular case, it is you that is plural. What Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus, and by the way, saying to the church at Central, is I urge all of you, each one of you, every one of you, to recognize that you've been called with a worthy calling. Therefore, I urge each one of you, every one of you, all of you, to walk worthy of the calling that you have in Christ Jesus the Lord. In some of the translations, it says, I beseech you. Here he says, I urge you. It's interesting that the word beseech really comes from a Greek word that is sometimes used concerning the Holy Spirit, encourager. One who walks alongside of us, one who camps out with us, that whatever the enemy might do, he's our fortress, our guard, and our guide. Paul is using that kind of language to say, I beg you, I persuade you, I urge you, I beseech you, I come alongside of you, I want to help you any way I can, I want to make sure you know that you're not in this by yourself, I want you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received from the Lord. It is a very personal thing. So he's not talking about your husband, and he's not talking about your wife, and he's not making reference just to the parents, and he's not talking to just the junior high, senior high, and grade school kids. He's not talking just to the deacons. He's not talking to the pastor and the staff. This is an altogether every person set of circumstances. He's saying, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge every one of you, each one of you, and all of you to walk worthy of the calling that you have in Jesus Christ the Lord. So nobody can leave. And nobody can point to your neighbor and say, listen closely, he's talking to you. This is a personal thing. This is about you, singular, and you, personal. And Paul, being a Southerner, said, it's about you all of you. I'm encouraging to walk worthy. Now, when you hear what he's got to say, you have to understand what he's saying. He's saying, I want you to walk worthy of your calling. Now, here's what he's saying. I want you to live up to the potential that you have now that you are chosen, adopted, predestinated, sealed, washed, redeemed, kept, made knowledgeable about the mysteries of the kingdom, and strengthened with all your might in your inner being. He said, that's what I want you to know. Now that that has taken place in your life, I want you to live up to the potential that you have in Christ Jesus. And could I ask you a question this morning? I'm talking about one where the rubber meets the road, one of those really serious questions that I hope it haunts you until you can answer it honestly and transparently. Are you ready for it? Are you up there, you down here, you here, all of us, are you living up to the potential that you have in Jesus Christ? Are you striving for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus the Lord? Are you leaning in the direction of holiness? Have the wheels come off of your Christian experience so that you are in neutral in a world that is dead set against the gospel? Or are you marching on as a Christian soldier with the armor of the Lord, standing true and firm and growing in the good news of the gospel? Are you fulfilling the call that is upon your life as a born-again believer? That's just how personal this is. It's not only personal. Our text says it's powerful. Would you grasp with me who's doing the calling? I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. Paul couldn't have run 10 feet in that little cell that he was imprisoned in. He didn't have barbells to exercise his physical muscles. He wasn't so concerned about proper diet, because if he got a cup of water and a hard piece of bread every day or two, that would have been the substance that he would have placed within his body. He's not talking about the outward man at all. The man who is urging you, who have all the freedoms in this world, the man who is urging you, who will have a better lunch than 95% of the people in this world will have X month, maybe next year, the man who is sitting in a cold, dark, damp prison cell chained between two guards, he's the one who's urging you to walk worthy of the gospel calling upon your life. That's how powerful this is. He is living out his own message to the people at Ephesus. He's standing before us today and saying to us, I may be a scrawny little old man. I may not be able to see, as proven by the fact that he talks about his sight in Scripture. I may not be able to eat a well-balanced diet like maybe most of you, all of you should. I can't run and exercise because I'm in a small prison cell. But I can press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. I can pray. I can study the scrolls. I can lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. I can surrender my all. I can talk to the man on my right or the man on my left about the good news of the gospel. I may not be able to run a distance or eat a meal or grow in a way that some others may, but as a prisoner of the Lord, I stand before you begging you to recognize that you must live up to your potential as a born-again believer, that you must rise out of the ashes of a depraved society and stand up for Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. That's the challenge that's before us. And then I want to quickly close by telling you how practical this powerful and personal challenge is. And to do so, we must rehearse. Why is it practical? Now listen to me. Why is it practical? I mean, Pastor, what makes you think I can do what you're asking me to do? What makes you think I can do what Paul asked the Ephesian people to do? Because all he's talking about is your conversation and your conduct. Well within your grasp. He's just talking about how you speak and how you act. Your conversation and your conduct. That's all he's talking about. And what he's saying is, in your conversation and in your conduct, walk worthy of the calling that you have upon your life. Now, what does that mean? Well, let me rehearse with you a moment. I'm chosen in Christ Jesus. Do I talk that way? I'm a son of the living God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I've been adopted into the royal family. I'm a saint. My nature's been reversed. I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Is that the way I talk? Is that what comes out of my mouth when I meet you, when I meet a stranger, when I'm placed in an environment where the gospel of Jesus needs to be presented? Is that my conversation? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I've been made aware of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, that in me, Christ is the hope of glory. Is that the walk that I walk on a daily basis? Do I stumble and trip and fall into the filth of this world? Do I fail because I don't believe? Do I walk by sight and not by faith? Or have I gotten a hold of the truth that I am a child of God and His royal blood flows in my veins, and that my inner man has been strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that anything I would ask or think, He is more than capable of doing that in my life and in yours? Have I grasped that? Do I understand that? It's all about my conversation and my conduct. He's asking nothing of us that all of us could not do. He's simply saying, when you talk and when you walk, walk worthy of the call of the gospel that has been placed upon your life. And I will assure you, I will guarantee you, I will promise you that in 6 weeks, if you will go through this series of messages with me, and we will together begin to walk worthy of the calling that is upon our lives, we'll be a better us, and you'll be a better you. You'll be a better daddy. Better granddad. You'll be a better husband, sir. You'll be a better wife. You'll be a better teenager. You'll be a better mom. You'll be a better child. You'll be a better church member. You'll be a better friend. You'll be a better witness. You'll be a better prayer warrior. You'll be a better Bible student. If you'll just live up to the potential that you have in Christ Jesus the Lord. Don't get me wrong. Paul later says, I have not arrived. I'm not perfect. I'm not there. I'm not where I want to be. But he said, I'm sure not where I used to be. I'm making progress. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm running the race that has been set before me. I'm laying aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets me. I am walking worthy of the calling of God that's been put upon my life. And listen, every one of us, I know my time is up. Listen, though. His hand is on you this morning. His hand is on you this morning. His hand is on you this morning. If you're not saved, He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you to Jesus Christ, to the foot of the cross, to the repentance of your sin, and to godly sorrow so that you begin to live a new life in Christ Jesus the Lord. But if you're a Christian, His hand is upon you. His hand is placed upon your very heart this morning. And He's asking you, are you living up to the potential that I have imparted to you since you've been chosen and adopted, redeemed and loved and made accepted in the beloved, since you know the mysteries of the kingdom and the strength of God is within you, and I'll do anything for you that you'd ask or think. Are you living up to that potential? The invitation this morning is going to be somewhat different. I'll never preach the gospel. I'll never preach the gospel that I don't extend an invitation for an unsaved person to come and be saved. And pastors will be here in the altar should that be your need this morning. I plead with you to come trust Jesus as your personal Savior. But even if it messes up the service, here's what the invitation for the rest of us is. Will you sign up? Will you join me? And for the next 6 weeks, will you walk through these 16 verses with me? And will you begin to pray, oh God, help me to live up to my potential, to walk worthy of the calling that is upon my life? Will you sign up this morning? If you will, would you leave the balcony and the floor and even the choir area and just come find a kneeling place to seal that commitment? Would you come in prayer today and just sign up? Just say, I am willing. Now that I know who I am in Christ, I am willing to commit myself with all of my energy to become who I need to be in Christ. I want to walk worthy of the calling that is upon my life. Would you stand with me, please? Our pastors will come quickly. They'll be here in the altar, and as the music begins and as we begin to sing, would dozens of you, would hundreds of you, and if you can't make it here, would you kneel where you are, sit down where you are, would you just come and sign up? Pastor, I want to walk worthy in my life of the calling that God has placed upon it. I know I need to run better, eat better, and discipline myself, but the outward man is perishing. Right now, I'm more concerned about the inward man. Will you sign up this morning? Let's sing, and the pastors will be in the altar.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He shares.